Welcome to Taratzi Mecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we are studying Perek Yud Zayin of Melechim Bet. Perek Yud Zayin takes a break from our study of the kings of Yehuda and Yisrael and focuses instead on the historical event of the Galut of the Aseret Hashvatim, the northern 10 tribes. It is a sad and tragic moment in Jewish history, especially considering that their written history ends at this juncture and is not recovered. The Melech Yisrael during this time period, and the last Melech Yisrael altogether, is Hoshea ben Ela, who was mentioned briefly in Perek Tetvav when he assassinated his predecessor. What is interesting is that actually Hoshea ben Ela is described in Pasuk Bet as not being as bad as some of the other Malchei Yisrael. And if so, then the question to ask is why the Galut happened specifically during his time. How does that make sense? Rashi explains that he wasn't as bad as the kings before him because he removed the guards that were stationed by the roads, preventing the people from Yisrael from coming to Yerushalayim. This was apparently because the two temples with the golden calves were no longer in existence. According to the Seder Olam, the first calf was taken with the people of Dan, and the second in Beit El was taken along with the people of Reuven and Gad. People in his kingdom now had the opportunity to go to the Beit HaMikdash with nothing stopping them. Unfortunately, and as was to be expected, they were still not going. There was no one to blame anymore for their refusal to make Aliyah LaRegel. In this way, we can find definite fault with Hoshea ben Ela and Yisrael at this time. Hoshea misread the political situation during his time period and thought that Ashur was being weakened. He makes an alliance with Egypt in Pasuk Dalid and stops paying a tribute to the king of Ashur. The Navi that shares his name, Hoshea, tries to warn him against doing this. When he realizes his mistake and tries to smooth things over, the king of Ashur puts Hoshea in jail. In Pasuk Vav, after a siege on Shomron of 3 years, in the 9th year of Hoshea ben Ela's rebellion, they are exiled to Ashur. The 10 Shvatim were exiled at 3 different times. In Pekach's time, Tiglat-Pleser came and exiled the farthest north tribes, including Dan and Naphtali, and possibly Zvulun. This was in the 4th year of King Achaz of Yehuda and was mentioned in Perek Tetzayin. In the 12th year of Achaz, Tiglat-Pleser returned and exiled the Shvatim on the eastern side of the Yarden, Reuven and Gad, and half of Manasseh. This is when Hoshea ben Ela starts his rebellion against Ashur and did not pay a tribute. After 8 more years, Ashur came and laid siege for 3 years, as mentioned in Pasuk Hay, before everyone in Shomron was exiled in Pasuk Vav. This took place in Hoshea's 19th year, which corresponds with the year 3206, or approximately 722 BCE. It takes place during the time of Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, and it was in his 6th year, which we will learn about in the upcoming Prakim. It will be at least another 130 years or so until Yehuda is exiled to Bavel. The psukim that follow, starting with Pasuk Zayin, list all the sinful and shameful behaviors and events that led to this monumental and game-changing circumstance. Bnei Yisrael are found guilty on the following counts. They sinned against Hashem, who took them out of Mitzrayim and served other gods. Pasuk Zayin. They followed in the ways of other nations that Hashem helped them conquer. Pasuk Chet. They acted terribly against Hashem by building bamot in their cities, in all locations, Pasuk Tet. They erected matzevot, monuments, and asherah trees on all hills and under every tree, Pasuk Yud. They sacrificed on the bamot they built, like all the nations, and they angered Hashem, Pasuk Yud Aleph. They served gilulim, idols that Hashem had warned them against not doing, Pasuk Yud Bet. Hashem warned both Yisrael and Yehuda through the Nevi'im, saying, "Return from your bad ways and keep the mitzvot of the Torah, like I commanded your fathers, through my messages to the Nevi'im." Pasuk Yud Gimel. But they did not listen and stiffened their necks, just like their fathers who did not believe in Hashem. Pasuk Yud Dalet. They rejected Hashem's laws and his brit that he made with their fathers, and they followed the empty practices of the nations that surrounded them. Pasuk Tetvav. They left the mitzvot of Hashem and made images of calves, and they served the celestial beings and served the Baal. Pasuk Tetzayin. They did the practice of Molech and practiced sorcery and divination, and they did what was bad in the eyes of Hashem to anger him. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Hashem got very angry at Yisrael and removed them from his presence and only left Shevet Yehuda remaining. Pasuk Yud Chet. Yehuda is then singled out as also not following Hashem's ways. They are blamed for following the ways of Yisrael in Pasuk Yud Tet. Then Yisrael gets special mention for breaking away from Malchut Yehuda in the first place in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, which is why Hashem hands them over into the hands of their oppressors. It seems like one of the reasons they are sent earlier into Galut is that they can stop being a bad influence on Yehuda. Hashem was also hoping Malchut Yehuda would learn from the fate of Yisrael and change their ways. Yeravam is singled out in Pasuk Chaf Aleph and Chaf Bet as having caused Bnei Yisrael to sin greatly when he broke off initially from Malchut Yehuda. Bnei Yisrael followed in his ways, which led them directly to the state of Galut by Ashur, Ad Hayom Hazeh, until this day. In looking closely at this long list of grievances, a progression is seen in the practices of Yisrael as they went from bad to worse. First the Bamot are mentioned, then Matzevot, Asherot, Gilulim, graven images, Molech, and sorcery. Things start off with Bamot that could be used for serving Hashem and end with outright Avodah Zarah, used to anger Hashem. The phrase that Hashem removes Yisrael, Me'al Panav, as it says in Psukim Yurchet and Chaf Gimel, is unique to this perek and could be referring to an element of Hester Panim, removal of Hashem's face that comes with being forced to leave Eretz Yisrael, which is the domain of Hashem. David HaMelech himself equates being forced to leave Eretz Yisrael as being synonymous with being told to go worship other gods. This presents exile as more than just being physically removed from the land. It is also being removed from Hashem's special Hashgacha Pratis, that is a privilege of dwelling in the land. It is interesting to note how Yehuda is singled out in the midst of the psukim that both before and after are referring to Yisrael's behaviors. It links the exile of the ten Shvatim to what is destined to happen to Yehuda. The only thing Yehuda is not guilty of is Yeravam's act of breaking away from Shevet Yehuda. But Yehuda can be held to task here for not learning from their counterparts. The second half of this perek focuses on what happens after Yisrael is taken to Galut, both to them and to the land in Yisrael itself. The tactic of the kingdom of Ashur was to geographically transfer and spread out the people it exiled, so there is no group cohesion, and they are not able to be a threat. Rambam mentions this in Mishneh Torah in the context of conversion, that Sancheirev, the king of Ashur, who exiled the northern Shvatim, was known to conquer a region and disperse and mix populations. He said this in the context of how people from Edom, Moab, Ammon, and Egypt may not be in the original people who dwelled in those lands. This is the tragedy of how these ten Shvatim do not retain their identity and become lost to the Jewish people. Many Jews still remained in the north, though. Melech Ashur came and settled Vishomron and made it impossible for the Jews there to retain their identity, even while still living in their own land. Many of these Jews moved to Yehuda's territory during this time and merged with Shevet Yehuda. The north, now under Ashur's rule, becomes populated by the Shomronim, the Samaritans. Their lack of fear of Hashem and knowledge of Hashem's laws caused them to be harmed in the land by lions that Hashem unleashed to kill them in Pasuk Chaf Hei. Their solution in Pasuk Chaf Zayin was to bring back a Kohen to teach the new residents in the land the laws. So the Kohen is brought back to live in Beit El. The different nationalities described as serving are described as serving their individual gods, but also fear Hashem out of fear of harsh punishment, as seen in Psukim Lamed Bet and Lamed Gimel. What is the punishment of the lions all about? Why would these non-Jews be expected to follow the laws of Hashem? And what is the deal with this Kohen? A Kohen from Beit El, is clearly not an authentic Kohen, as seen in Malachim Aleph, when the city becomes one of Yerevam's religious centers, and he appointed Kohanim there who were not from Shevet Levi. We could answer the first question by looking at the unleashing of wild animals, not so much as a punishment, but as a natural consequence of defiling the land. Eretz Yisrael is so holy that the land can't tolerate abominations. This idea is mentioned throughout the Torah when the land is described as being holy and not able to tolerate impurity. This sensitivity to the land does not distinguish between transgressions committed by Jew or non-Jew. And what about the Navi from Beit El? It seems like Hashem is okay with other nations serving intermediaries as long as ultimately they were serving and fearing Hashem. The people in Beit El served the calf as a means to serve Hashem. While this was a transgression for us as Jews, it was not considered problematic for these non-Jewish inhabitants. These Samaritans, also referred to as Kutim, in time become their own religion, in some ways similar to Jews and in some ways very different. There are sources in the Mishnah and Tosefta where their status was debated. Part of the debate revolves around whether they truly converted or just accepted certain practices out of fear of the lions. Eventually, they split off and were considered idolaters, and their circumcisions, marriages, wines, and cheeses were considered problematic and banned from the traditional Jewish community. The Radak posits that starting in Pasuk Lamed Dalid, the Psukim are once again talking about the people of Yisrael that were exiled, that even until this day they did not repent and are still serving idols in Galut. Or it could be referring to the small amount of Jews that remained in Shomron and did not change their ways. They are faulted for not only serving Hashem. They were doing what Eliyahu had described as going back and forth between serving Hashem and other gods too. The Perek ends by comparing, in Pasuk Mem Aleph, the foreign nations living in Israel, who were not punished, and Bnei Yisrael, who were punished. Even though both groups, in effect, were doing the same thing in their worship, the fact that the nations feared Hashem along with serving their gods is not considered a negative combination. But Bnei Yisrael, who knew better and received the Torah and entered into a brit with Hashem, were expected to do better. The expectations were higher. And since they were repeatedly warned not to do so and they didn't listen, they were taken to and remained in Galut ad Hayom Hazeh. And this is how our tragic Perek ends. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.